The word of the Lord from Matthew 21, beginning in verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, for because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there and abode to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 besides women and children. Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God is dead.
Children are dismissed at this time for children's worship. So at this time we're going to invite Paul Yang to come and share the word of God. And so I'm going to invite Paul to come up, and then I'm going to pass off the official clicker. Just kidding. But I do want, I'm going to pray. Normally, Paul, I would pray before I begin to preach, and I want to do that for you as well. And thank you for being here. Paul, born in South Korea, he's had an interesting life. He's lived in China. He's fluent in Chinese. Yesterday, Sean and I watched 2 conversations in fluent Chinese with people that we would have never, ever been able to have a conversation with. I said to Gwen last night, it's like we're all on a boat. You ever been out on the ocean on a boat and you see maybe a porpoise come up, or you see a seabird land, and you think, wow, it's beautiful out here. Maybe even a whale. Right? Although Paul and Shanae didn't get to see any whales when I took them there on Friday. Next time. But beneath the surface of that ocean, there is a whole world happening. And I watched it yesterday. Sean and I got to see it yesterday. A head nod by 2 Koreans walked driving past each other on the road. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was beautiful. There are sharing it with them. It's not a judgment, brother and sister. I'm not putting that judgment. Who's preaching? You're preaching, am I? Sorry. I'm not putting judgment on us for not being able to speak fluent Chinese. It's not your fault or mine, or maybe it is our fault. There's nothing we're going to do about it. But it was amazing to see. And ask Sean about his experience and watching what happened in ministry yesterday. It was absolutely, I wish everyone could have seen. I wish I would have had a head camera to like videotape all that. So with that, I'm going to shut up. And not a good time to say amen. But I want to pray for Paul before he preaches the word. Gracious God, thank you for your love. Thank you for our brother. Thank you for our sister, Shanae. Thank you that you have this weekend delivered them here safely to be with us, to have fellowship with us, to do ministry with us. Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but you know exactly, and we will trust you. And so now, Lord, we desire to hear the word of God. And may your Holy Spirit and your holy word come together in our lives, your people, for transformation. And to that end, Lord, I ask for a special gift, the gift of preaching upon for my brother. For I know, and he knows, that we have nothing to add to your perfect holy word unless it's done by your Holy Spirit. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
My name is Sun Han Yang, but God has given me another name, which is Paul. So I love to go by Paul in my ministry. Believe it or not, my heart language is Korean. So I'd like to greet you in my fluent Korean. Are you ready?
Yes.
여러분을 주 안에서 만나 뵙게 되어 진심으로. Do you want me to translate it, right? So, it means I'm so happy and glad to see you in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. My wife, Shina, and I came from Grand Rapids, Michigan last Thursday. And thankfully, Pastor Bill came to the airport and hugged, big hug, of course. And we have been welcomed so much by your church. So, my wife and I deeply appreciate your love and welcome. Unfortunately, my two boys are not here today. Hopefully, I have the chance to introduce about my family and my two kids and myself more later, if it is allowed. I have been speaking in Korean as my mother tongue for more than 40 years since I started speaking my mommy's tongue when I was three. Because I speak English as a second language, so it might be a bit of a challenge for you to understand the sermon due to my strange accent and intonation, maybe pronunciation. But I humbly ask you to open your heart to listen to how God would speak to you even through my vulnerability. Because I believe in my vulnerable preaching, while it's weak and miserable, it is still worthy enough to convey the word of God. Amen. As we find in the book of Numbers, God even uses a donkey to speak. Sean, I believe I can do this because God has told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfect in your weakness. So I stand at this pulpit this morning with a prayerful mind that only the power of Christ would rest on both you and me. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to proclaim your word here at your sunrise. your living word. Fulfill us with your Holy Spirit and protect us from evil. In your wonderful name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Many years ago, one of the stories that circulated around Baghdad before the American attack is like this. One afternoon, Saddam Hussein came to a cabinet meeting late. And he asked one of his ministers, "By the way, what time is it?" And the minister loyally replied, "Whatever time you say, Mr. President." Yes, there was a shadow of dictation in Iraq at that time. You know what? And it's true, it's very, very hard to expose the truth in front of absolute power, right? But you know what? John the Baptist, he tells the truth. He tells the truth to the King Herod Antipas, what is doing wrong, lustful women. Yes. In fact, Herod has already stolen his stepbrother, Philip's wife, Herodias. He took her away from his depraved grave. And now, disgustingly, he is aroused by her daughter, his niece, Salome. At a drunken banquet, Herod is proud and drunk and blindly dragged by a shameless desire. And he gives the order to kill the innocent John Baptist, to satisfy a dancing girl. Herod assassinated the greatest in the Bible, in the history, John the Baptist. The power of dictatorship is strengthening, right? Even today, in the 21st century, we see many ugly dictatorships, not to mention Vladimir Putin. Herod Antipas has absolute power and murders John with one finger down. All across Galilee, people want to know how Jesus responds to this horrifying world, this darkness. Yes, there is a dark, shadow, dark surrounding Jesus. And it comes true when Jesus hears the news that his relative, John the Baptist, has been beheaded. You know, actually, John's disciples tell Jesus, "Lord, a dancing girl delighted so much Herod. So Herod killed John, and John's head was brought on a cold platter given to the dancing girl, and the girl gave it the heathen mother. What should we do now? What should we do now?" Disciples cry, absolutely. Excuse me. Ironically, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 follows this dark shadow news. According to Luke, John the Baptist is a cousin of Jesus. And you know, in the middle of shame and honor culture in the Middle East, when your relative is politically murdered, it's dangerous. It means that it casts a shadow dark on the rest of your family. And Jesus is the one of the closest friends of John. Now, very naturally, there is a huge wave of sympathy flowing toward Jesus from all different places. And they say, "What do we do now? Is it over? Herod is lunatic, violent. He is irresponsible. We have no protection under the law. Who is next? Our movement with two leaders, John the Baptist and Jesus, but now Herod killed John the Baptist by one finger down. Who's going to be next? Our problem is that It's impossible to proclaim the kingdom of God in the kingdom of Herod, the kingdom of evil, the kingdom of darkness. So, now the shadow of the darkness falls upon the entire nation. John was once like the sunrise. Now is fading with the sunset. John, the sun goes down, and the darkness falls upon people's heart. Now, Jesus, you must react. You must respond.
But as soon as Jesus hears the horrible news, he leaves on a boat to a remote place to be unknown.
But someone sees him, and the word gets out, and soon thousands of people follow Jesus on foot from many places. Jesus feels the shadow of fear covering the whole crowd. And he sees the shadow of panic just threatening their souls and even their bodies, trampling their bodies. And he sees the shadow of panic just threatening everything. Jesus feels full of compassion, full of love. And he started to heal, and he started to cure. But as the time goes by, it's already evening now, and the shadow of the darkness begins to cast. Now the disciples come to Jesus and ask, "We are in the countryside, and it's already getting dark. Would you send the crowds away so they can visit the village and get some food for themselves?" You know what? It sounds like the disciples are commanding Jesus on what to do. Why? Because they know. They have sense, political sense. It's so dangerous. It's obvious. What if heaven knows this? You know? Situation, see, think about it. The thousands of Jews, you know, gathering around out there. It's so dangerous situation. For sure, Herod will be unhappy. And maybe he's going to use this as his lawyer. Or maybe a serious political betrayal. Come on, what if thousands of people, thousands of military, you know, suddenly come out rapidly. Now, you know, far from the weapons, people and Jesus just, you know, having the hunger in the middle of the green pasture. What else they can do? Maybe the only thing they can do is dismissed right away. Before Herod notices it, they must be scared. So the disciples ask, "Jesus, dismiss it right away." There are shadows of worries cast upon us too. Maybe a relationship, maybe aging, jobs, education, gaining weight, sickness, loneliness, uncertainty, or anxiety. But you know, maybe the biggest problem is worry about the problem itself. Yes, the real problem is that we are only stuck inside the problem. We don't know how to get out. And we think and worry again and again and again endlessly. It's very, very hard to get out of it. And we know that the greater the concern, the bigger the shadow will be. You know, it was about 14 years ago, dreaming about supporting missionary work and having a better life, I opened a private language institute in South Korea with my younger brother. We saved some seed money, but it was not enough. So we got some bank loan, and we started the business with our own labor
without hiring any staff. Yes, we began with our feet and our, you know, bare feet. That's the way your Korean people expresses when, you know, situation with a bare feet, right? A bare, like a bare essentials. You get that? So the first few years were really tough. I took on every role in the business as a driver, teacher, like, you know, officer, maybe a counter, everything, even, you know, bathroom. Cleaning the bathroom was not easy and not fun. I did everything I could do. I paid a lot of attention to my work as a responsible owner. And as the business was not going well, I felt getting fatigued and stressed out and burned out finally. And I couldn't even sleep well for many days, many nights. In fact, working as an owner was not easy. And it was more difficult as I was recently married and had a new baby with an unstable income. And it was more difficult with a serious situation for me at the time because I started to feel sick. I don't know why. I didn't know what it is. It was simply like gastroenteritis. I don't know. There is popular. Yes. I tried many different medical treatments to get out of this sickness, but they had only a temporary effect. And I tried even yoga therapy. I felt more, a little bit kind of improvement, but I couldn't completely get rid of it. Still, I failed to have a fundamental solution because of ongoing stress. And it's true that we live in anxiety because of our daily responsibility and our circumstances that we cannot escape. Yes, how liberating it is to live with so many serious problems. Depression, lacking, disease, discrimination, conflict, mistrust, financial burden, war, global warming, earthquake, slump, serious family issues. When such things come to us painfully, sometimes we want to ask God, why does God allow us to have such pain? Why doesn't God just take us to heaven right away? How does God expect us to enjoy the lilies of the field and birds in the sky in my aching life? Some people, in their serious suffering, wish they were not able to think at all. They wish they were just a handful tossed. Yes, there are so many different kinds of dark shadow falls upon our hearts. But you know, the thing is that we just rely on our own effort, our own power to get out of this shadow. Even as Christians, we sometimes say, am I qualified as a child of God? And am I enough for God? All across the people of Galilee came to Jesus and asked how Jesus would respond to this horrifying murder darkness. But as Jesus is recovering the sight for the blind and sound for the deaf, and healing various kinds of sickness, they are amazed. And they forgot their questions and worries. And they even forgot their hunger for a moment. But soon, as time goes by and evening approaches rapidly, the people find themselves where they are. As they realize that they are in a remote place and their hunger grows fast, and even comes to their souls. I can even hear
babies crying in the wilderness for their hunger. The disciples come to Jesus and say in a hurry, "Teacher, send the crowds right away."
But Jesus says, "There is no need to dismiss them. You give them food."
What? Give them food? What are you talking about? We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Are you joking, Jesus? We give them supper.
Lord, are you insane? Because you are too scared. Your relative John the Baptist will die. Right? Are you okay? But Jesus says, in a gentle but a powerful voice, "Bring them here. 제게 가져오십시오." And Jesus has the people sit on the grass.
I would imagine the sound of the thousands of people sitting on the grass muffled in the baby's cry. You can hear a pin drop on the grass. You hear only breathing.
In the silence, Jesus takes 5 loaves, 2 fish, and lifting his face to the sky, and he begins to pray.
Heavenly Father,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive our sins. And then he breaks it and passes it to the disciples, and the disciples pass the food to the whole congregation. You know, the moment the congregation received the food, well-roasted fish and fresh bread,
they instinctively come up the Psalm of David. "He lies me down in green pastures. He prepares a table before our enemies. Yes, indeed, the good shepherd, he prepares thousands people's table." Jesus makes the thousands of people lie down in green pastures, and he prepares a table in the presence of the enemy, the King Herod. He makes me lie down, you lie down, in his blessing word. Indeed, the good shepherd reminds us, even though we walk through the shadow of the darkest valley, we have no fear for evil, because Jesus is the light. And Jesus is the very word in the beginning, let there be light. Yes, Jesus is the light, and he is illuminating all shadow, all darkness. Children, women, and men, everyone in that place eat the bread and fish as much as they want. They are fully satisfied with the food. Jesus sets the table with plenty of food, more than 10,000 of people. Surely, their cup overflows with the true blessing of Jesus Christ. And they remember the manna and quail from heaven, and they remember God's message, "Shema Israel! I am the Lord, Yahweh! I am slow to anger. I am merciful. I am faithful. Because I love you." And everyone ate full, and disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. My sickness seemed never to leave because that's all of my effort. One day, when I was writing an email to my Chinese friend, I heard a very weird sound from my heart. It said, "Where are you?" I believed
it was from God. So in church, I kept praying about the voice, what I heard. And it came again. Stop eating. And I will tell you something. From that day on, I stopped any food. I drank a little bit of not beer, water, for 5 days. And finally, after 5 days, I heard clearly a voice. Paul, I simply ask you to be a pastor. You are my sheep, and I want you to shepherd them. This is a picture I was ordained. Because of God's grace, I was able to kneel down before the Lord and the people of God. I wanted to get out of the shadow and stress and pain, but I faced the sunshine of God. The light of grace came to me, and I was out of the shadow by the light of God. The more I focused on God's grace, the more I could get out of the stress and shadow. Yes, I am standing here at God's sunrise because of God's grace. So you are. But brothers and sisters, our enemy always threatens us. You don't deserve it. You are not qualified at all. You are not qualified to be a child of God, holy God. You are useless. Our enemies always threaten us by saying, you are not enough. However, Jesus Christ gently said, come to me. Are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? Are you painful? Put them down in my cross. I died for you. I will give you rest. I am with you, so everything is fine. Because I have set the table before your enemy. Because I love you as you are. I am not asking you for doing the better thing to be handsome. No, you don't need to do anything to be loved. No, nothing. Because I died on the cross when you were sinners. You couldn't do anything for me, my love, because I love you. I came to you even before you were sinners. That means you couldn't react to nothing, you know? How could you say, I have a good faith? Huh? Without God's love, God's grace, how could you have faith? There was no pride, no pride at all. Look at the Apostle Paul. Everything, I just think about that shit. Because he realized the gospel, what gospel is like. It's not about you at all. That's why, hallelujah, we say, Lord, you can do this. Not about me. Jesus said, I have destroyed the enemy, the death, by my resurrection. Death is not the end. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Yes, sisters and brothers, our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death. Amen?
Amen.
And he is with us. There's nothing that can ever separate us from his love. I mean nothing. Not even the death nor life. Nor angels, nor demons, nor fears for today, nor for worse for tomorrow. There's nothing, I mean nothing, not even the powers of hell can separate us from evil. You know what that means?
You don't need to be worried. Never. He will rescue from hell. Why are you worrying, jerk? Kid, you are fine. I am closing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, people who ate the manna and quail and bread and fish, they passed away long ago. But you know what? Whoever listened and hear the word of God will never pass away. And you and I know, and we confess as much as the Apostle Peter did. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the eternal word. You are our shepherd. I pray this confession will be yours. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you. We thank you for your grace. We know the most terrifying thing in the world is the shadow of death. However, we believe that you are the true light and you have risen from the dead. And we pray that we would have the experience of the resurrection and the kingdom of heaven in our daily life. So please give us the power to live like that. Please allow us the capability to embarrass and listen and encourage and give us the generous heart to forgive each other and smile each other genuinely. So let us, our church, Sunrise, rejoice with the true honor and glory. Lord, help us take up the cross and live a life of obedience, sacrifice, service, and love. We pray your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.